This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to the best bits. It's Morgan here. This is part one where I bring someone from the show on and we have some fun in-depth conversations about life, the show, and you know, whatever else gets brought up. And this weekend is a favorite guest for a lot of people. It is none other than Scuba Steve.
Oh, yes, it is the favorite guest.
Yeah.
Hey, that's awesome. I think I keep hearing that a lot lately.
Yep. You and Eddie are the two that people tend to say, mostly just because I think our conversations are so fun.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's like I have two older brothers that I sit here and talk to. It's basically how it feels.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably what comes off in the interviews,
well, that's
too.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah. Does that offend you if I say you're an older brother?
No, because I am older than you, and okay. I'm a guy, and I would be a brother.
Listen, I'm making sure every time I say older at all in a phrase to Eddie or Lunchbox, they get automatically offended.
Well, if I was hanging out with some grandpas, then I'd be like, yeah, I'm offended. I'm not a grandfather. But brothers is fine.
Older brothers. Yeah. I mean, though, Eddie still gets the dad jokes a lot. So does Lunchbox. You have not ventured into that area in my life yet.
I have not, no.
Where you have not said dad jokes in front of me and then I called you out for it. But you also aren't one that I hear dad jokes often from.
No, I really don't do that. Like I'll take them in and giggle, but I'm not one to dish out a dad joke.
Yeah, okay. I didn't think so. I was gonna say, I feel like I would have called that out by now, but I've just never heard it for that to have happened.
Yes.
It's partially also why they all get offended. It's because they do it often, and so I call that out.
Yeah, they don't want to hear that.
Yes, but excited to talk to you. We got a lot to, you know, catch up on, from Graceland to CMA Fest, all the things. So we're just going to get started. Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Coming in at number 7, Amy was worried that she's a helicopter mom after something happened with her son. She said he could go bike ride to his jiu-jitsu practice, and then she followed behind him just to be safe. But, you know, Scuba, you're a father.
Yes.
Your kids aren't, like, grown and going bike riding by themselves yet.
Not yet, no.
But have you reached helicopter phase? Are you a helicopter parent?
So I have a couple different thoughts to this. So I grew up, I was the first of four. So I think being the first child, you were a victim of being a helicopter or dealing with the helicopterness.
Being helicoptered.
Yeah, helicoptered. Yeah. My mom, I was the first kid, so she like put me in a glass case every night, took care, like nothing could happen to me. So I was raised that way. And then meanwhile, my brother and sister come along and they can do whatever the heck they want. They can ride their bikes wherever. They can do this. They can go that. And I'm like, what the heck? I couldn't do anything the first 3 or 4 years and still can't even now. So I had that. So that kind of makes me almost feel like, okay, I shouldn't do that same thing, because I felt like later in life, it made me want to do things that I shouldn't do.
Be a little more rebellious.
Rebellious, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Rebellious, but a safe rebellious, sort of.
Okay.
I don't know, but we can get into that for another time.
I feel like if I start pushing on that button, we're going to dive into some darker things.
Yeah, very dark. Yeah, yes. We'll start off really dark. Not dark. But so my son, when I first had him, I saw this interview a long time ago from Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, that is the guy from... He had a show for a while.
I don't know what he's from, but I do know who he is.
But he's a scientist. Everyone knows who he is. And he's like, it's almost like the new version of Bill Nye, I guess you could say, maybe.
There is no new Bill Nye, Scuba. Okay. Nobody can do it like Bill Nye. But yeah, maybe alternate universe.
Yes,
Bill
Nye. Yes, the Mandela effect. So he had this whole interview. It was about when you have kids, the reason why we are what we are is because our parents keep telling us, no, don't do this, don't do that, no, 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 no. When in reality, what it is as a, when you're a new human to planet Earth, you're curious, you're exploring and trying everything out for the first time. And usually you learn by either someone telling you no, or you learn by doing, and you find out either through getting hurt or just not having a positive experience, you won't do it again. So I was like, the example he gave was like, you know, kids go to the kitchen and they pull out the pots and pans and you're like, oh my God, no. And you get all angry and put them all back. But what if you allowed them to do that? And then by allowing to do that, they realize, oh, I like pots and pans. I like to either drum and make a beat. I want to become a drummer. And by you telling them no, you may have stopped somebody to become the world's greatest drummer or a musician, because you kept telling them, no, 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 not, don't explore that. Don't explore these sounds, these feelings or whatever. And so you harness their creativity and change their whole trajectory as a human, because you did that one time, that one thing of telling them no. So I was like, wow, that really stuck with me.
Yeah, but like, how hard is a parent just to allow the kids to literally explore all of that? Because kids are crazy. Like, they will explore everything.
They will until they get to a point where they hurt themselves and then, or don't want to do it anymore. So I had that mindset for a little bit until
how hard was that to keep?
It was really hard. Those little things like pulling out the pots and pans and like the dumb crap, it's like, who cares, whatever, that doesn't bother me. It's a pain in the butt. I got to clean up and put it back. But he got to explore and play with the cups and whatever it was. Like, I let him do that. But then when it comes to a point where he starts to endanger himself, I'll let him tiptoe up to it. And I'm like, okay, nope, you're not. That's a knife. You can't grab the knife or, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So there is that line of like allowing them to be themselves and be creative and do their thing and also making sure they're safe. So I kind of am in between it. I'm not like a heck no, you can't do anything. And I'm not a do whatever you want. I'm like right in that middle ground.
Trying to be in that gray area as much as possible.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without trying to kill their childhood.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Has there been a moment where you're like, oh, I definitely helicoptered so far?
No, not really. I feel like I allow him to do to almost the point where I probably annoy other people in public places because I let him do whatever he's doing to a certain point where I have to kind of curb and go, you can't do that. He's never rude or mean or anything, but he'll just try something. And I'm like, oh, sure. Do whatever you're doing. Like,
yeah,
sing that song really loud.
And I do think helicoptering, like, because when they're young, they have no idea of it, right? They're like, oh, mom and dad, like, I love them so much. They're the best thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as they start to get older that helicopter thing becomes this part of not only the parent and the, but also the kid, because the kid's recognizing it, like, oh, I'm not getting trusted, or, oh, I'm not being allowed to do this.
You always say no.
Yes. Like, and so I think that helicoptering does come later. So I am interested to see, like, as your kids keep getting older and older, like how that transitions for you over that course of time.
I hope that he and she and all my kids will maybe open up more of a trust between us, because I always felt like with our parents, there was like this wall that you couldn't go to them for everything because they set that boundary. And I feel like that boundary is good, but also bad, because then they feel like they can't come to you all the time because, like, well, mom's really gonna be mad at me for this, even though I really could use her guidance right now, but I can't go to her because she's gonna be pissed off. So I just won't tell her and I'll deal with it myself and figure it out my own, which sometimes can end great. Sometimes it doesn't end that well.
Well, and I will say, like, my parents set it up that way. Like, I knew I'd get in trouble, but if I really needed them, I could call them. And I knew that at the end of the day, like in my heart, even if like my stubbornness of being a teenager or whatever would fight that, like I knew it in my heart that if I needed my parents, they were going to be there regardless. And if the trouble came after, whatever, but most of the time, like if I called them and I needed them, they were focused on that rather than the latter, which was me getting in trouble and everything. It would just come later out in like a conversation, like, okay, you know, that was wrong.
Yeah.
So let's make sure that doesn't happen again, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it did. It created a really like special bond with both of my parents. But much like you said about you growing up being the oldest, I was the youngest.
So you got to do whatever the heck you wanted.
I did.
You're the baby.
I still was like the rebel child. I was still doing things I shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah.
So it does happen with age too, for sure, that they have so much more leniency with you. And my older sister always said, similar to what you said, that, she couldn't do half the things that I could do.
Yeah, like we would ride bikes.
Yeah.
We lived on in this neighborhood where there was like multiple cul-de-sacs, courts. And I could only ride the bike in our cul-de-sac, and that was it. They were able to go to two cul-de-sacs over to the right and to the left, and then eventually go into the gas station. I'm like, what the hell? I couldn't even leave my street. It was ridiculous.
That first time parenting compared to like a second, third, fourth time parenting is a whole different ballgame.
Yes. You're kind of like, whatever, dude.
Yeah. Which is very much how my parents were for me, but I got into probably the most trouble out of all of the kids. So that, if that tells you anything, like there was a balance for my parents, but clearly not for me. I did not listen very well a good portion of my childhood.
Yeah.
But I love that. I am excited to see what happens with your kids, especially how you're going to be with the boy and how you're going to be with the girl, because will also have a factor in a lot of things. As much as like we don't want it to, it will have a factor.
It will, because I know how boys are.
Yeah.
So she's going to be treated a little bit differently just because I want to make sure she has as tough, but also a good, kind person, but have that tough exterior of like, don't mess with me until you break down my barrier and you're my friend, then we can be cool.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Make sure she's protected. Teach her to be a strong, independent woman from the beginning.
Oh yeah, 100%. Oh yeah.
I mean, I was that way. Listen, this is funny. So when my parents had a parent-teacher conference, I think I was in like second, third, fourth grade, somewhere right around there. And my parents went to my conference and my teachers were like, we're really concerned about Morgan. And they're like, okay, why? She has great grades. Like, she's not doing anything wrong. I would only play with the boys on the playground because I was so rough that, like, playing with the girls, they wouldn't, like, play in the dirt. And they wouldn't, like, play sports with me. Like, so I would go and hang out with all the guys on the playground. And my teachers were so concerned about that. And my parents were like, she's fine.
Yeah.
Like, if she's cool with that and that's what she wants. Like, but they came home and told me that. Just like, hey, FYI, your teachers aren't, like, fond of this. And I'm like... And we all kind of like collectively like, okay, she's fine. Just let her keep doing what she's doing. But I will never forget that, because it was like, why does it matter what I'm doing? Like, as long as I'm hanging out and having a good time. I had girlfriends.
Yeah.
I just didn't like playing with them at recess because they weren't very fun at recess.
Yeah, they're boring. You want to do all the stuff the guys are doing, getting dirty and running
now,
and playing tag.
I did get a lot of injuries, so that's partially why they were worried, because I kept getting injured.
Yeah, she's playing with them and playing hard.
Yes, so that was a problem. But I'm curious to see if that happens with your daughter, if you raised her in that way, that she's so strong and so independent, that there is that side of the boys, like as much as you know the bad side of them, but there's also the side of them that they're tough and they just want to have fun and they are out there playing sports all the time. She's going to end up being in that way.
Yeah.
Instead of like hanging out, playing with the dolls on the playground kind of
thing. Yeah. And cause she has her older brother who's always been kind of punking on her from day one. So
yeah.
Oh,
I'm interested to find out what happens. I'm predicting the future that she may be like that.
Yeah.
But it'll be very exciting.
And she's already kind of at that point now because she hangs out with him so much. She's really tough. Like, she walks around the house like she's tough, mm-hmm. like the Rock. Like, she has an attitude. She has swagger.
Are you going to put them in sports? Is sports?
Oh, yeah. My son's already playing soccer.
Okay.
And he's killing it. Like, he's really, really, really good at soccer.
Love that.
Like, impressive. Like unbelievably good.
Is he a goalie or is he, I don't know, any of the other positions?
Well, they're four. So they're just kind of, some kids are playing tag. Some kids are doing whatever. Some kids are.
Playing in the dirt.
Playing in the dirt. Yeah. But my son legit will take the ball and he will run up and down. Like, he's got so much cardio. He can run the entire game and never stop. Like, wow, that's incredible. And he scores tons of goals and he can kick like as if he were playing in high school. Like, it's unbelievable how good he is.
That's amazing.
He's really,
so you
really
may have
good.
A soccer star on your hands.
Yes, which I never liked soccer ever. Even to this day, I don't even like soccer. I'm not a soccer fan at all.
Are you going to take him to a Nashville SC game? Because I feel like he'd love that.
Yeah, now that he's getting to the point where he understands, I will, yes. Once they figure out the whole parking situation, then I'll go there.
Fair point. Well, I love that. Is there something you want to make sure either one of them play, or at least give them the opportunity to play?
I mean, I want them to have the opportunity to play all sports. So whatever they want to do. I mean, my son likes golf. He likes soccer. He likes baseball. He likes basketball. He now likes football a little bit. So if he wants to try them all, I'll give him the tools to try them all. And my daughter, same thing, whatever she wants. I don't care what she wants to try.
Did you play any sports when you were younger?
So I played baseball and basketball.
Okay.
And then I just never, no one ever put the time and energy into me. And so I just, and I didn't have the confidence because no one put the time, they put all their energy into one of my brother, and he was really good at baseball. So they kind of like really focused on him. So I just never really had the confidence to pursue it and do anything further from that. So what I ended up doing was at my brother's baseball games, I was like 11. They had this big, huge middle tower at Winter Springs baseball field, and no one ever went up there. The doors were always, it was always open because I would kind of, you know, test it. It would always open, but no one ever went up there. So one day I walked up the stairs, and up at the very top booth is all these like legit like announcer areas. They have a microphone. They have a scorekeeper. You can do everything. So I walked up there and I was like, whoa. Like, okay, so let me just see what happens. So I went up there at the start of his game and I started announcing the game and started keeping score because they never kept score and it bothered me. I'm like, how can you play a game and never keep the score? Like, and there's a beautiful scoreboard right there. So I was like, screw that. So I just wanted to keep score. So I kept score. And then one day I started messing with the mic and I announced my brother to come up and everyone started cheering. And I was like, whoa, they like this. So then I started just calling the game, like two balls, one strike. And I just kept, I announced the game. And so, and then I came down for the first time. It was like one of those movie moments where everyone was like clapping, like, yeah. And I was like, what? And I'm like, you guys aren't mad? I'm like, no, that was awesome. In fact, can you announce the next game? And so I stayed. So I ended up staying and I end up announcing a lot of different baseball games and keeping score at 11. So that became my thing. So he moved on to sports and was big with that. And I think I found my knack to do some sort of like personality type thing.
Well, I love that you made the best out of that situation because clearly it wasn't what you, like in your heart, that's not what you wanted to happen. Right.
Yeah.
But then you found a situation that clearly like carried you into adulthood.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's still part of your life now. Crazy.
Yeah.
Do you ever like look back though and you're like, I wish I would have played baseball and just like kind of pursued it further on myself?
Oh yeah, because I'm extremely athletic and I'm really good at sports and just like, but I just didn't have the confidence to go out there. I always thought I had in my head like people are gonna laugh at me or people make fun of me or what if I mess up and like all these things that you shouldn't really care about, which I'm trying to instill in anyone that I meet, that like my nieces and nephews and my kids, like turn all the voices off. Who gives a crap? Just go full force. Because if you have the athletic ability or have the drive to do it, chances are you'll do pretty well.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to be professional, but at least I could have maybe done really well and then had that experience in high school and maybe college. And who knows, maybe I could have been in the NBA or played in major leagues. I don't know. But I just never really pursued it and didn't have the confidence to pursue it. And I think the path just took me this direction instead. So,
I mean, again, clearly worked out, but it hurts my heart that you didn't get to explore that. Maybe we do have to have a Bobby Bones show softball team. So you can start feeling that again. I'm telling you, like doing gymnastics has like re-triggered that part of my life that I'm like, oh, I wish I would have pursued it more. But as a kid, it was up to me. I just quit. I didn't want to do it anymore.
At what age did you stop doing it?
Well, I did cheerleading up through all the way through high school. But gymnastics specifically, I didn't stay in for more than a few years. Like I was younger. I mean, in my 4, 5, 6, somewhere around that range.
Yeah.
Like, so I could always tumble. But like doing bars and vault and all the really cool things that you see on TV, I didn't pursue. And so like doing that now has like re-triggered that. I'm like, well, I can pursue it now. Who says I can't?
Yeah, just for fun.
I'm not going to go to the Olympics. No. But like, this is great.
What if it is a comeback story? What if they're like the first person, you know, because I guess they're always like 14, 15.
Oh yeah, they're so young.
Yeah, the first person 20 plus to make it to the Olympics for gymnastics.
I'm like 30 years old. I'm doing the beam.
You don't do one thing and that's it.
I do think there are like competitive adult gymnastic competitions. Okay. Like I want it to be a hobby. I want it to be just the fun passion, like reignited in my soul kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like that could be for you with baseball. You could kind of reignite that flame that was in your life, because even if you couldn't fulfill it then, you can fulfill some part of it now.
Yeah.
That is going to make you feel really good.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like it's something you should explore.
It'd be fun,
And we can make that happen very easily. This whole show should be playing on a softball team.
Oh,
can come out. It's not like there needs to be babysitters. We can have babysitters in the dugout. Like,
make a team. They have softball leagues and stuff, right? Don't they?
Oh, around all here? Over.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They have kickball. Mm-hmm. They have softball. Yeah. We should totally.
It'd be great
down.
Team bonding anyway.
Yes, it would be. Yes.
See, we just need to explore it a little bit
and get everyone on the same schedule and page and.
Okay, Scoop, I didn't think that far. I was just thinking like, you know, would you go play hit some balls? Oh, man. But we are leading into this next part at number 6. You and Eddie did something that was a bit unprofessional as far as the show deemed it. And I want to hear about Graceland, but however you want to talk about this. So on the show, We found out that you guys texted Gavin DeGraw video of a guy performing his song, I Don't Want to Be.
Yeah.
And the show was like, why did you text him? You shouldn't have texted them. So, like, give your statement side of the story, I suppose.
So we went to this bar. It was after the Elvis junket. And Eddie was like, yo, we got to go to this bar. It's called Ernstine and Hazel's. And it's a very iconic bar in Memphis. It's like where, I guess, all the Memphis old school like jazz players and people
was
like Elvis.
Was it on Graceland or was it like on Memphis, like the big street?
It was about 15 minutes from Graceland, but not. So Beale Street, which is downtown, which is kind of like Broadway and Nashville where all the bars and stuff are. So it's not in there. It's more like in where the locals would hang out. So it's a local bar where like Memphis Grizzlies players would go, musicians from back in the day, even till now, people will come there, like all just like people who are prominent in the area. This is their spot and locals.
Gotcha.
So you can go there one day and Justin Timberlake would be at that bar.
Makes sense.
And everyone would just leave him alone because it's a local spot and it's just Justin and no one cares.
Okay. So if you're going to go to this bar and you're going to not be chill, you can't go.
You can't go. Exactly.
That's
yeah.
A scuba
yeah. Yeah. If you ain't even chill, you can't go here. Yeah. Cause it's really cool. Cause there's the bottom half. And then when we didn't realize we explored and went upstairs, there's another half. The top half used to be a brothel. And so like people like Ray Charles used to go there and do heroin and like sleep with prostitutes and stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's got a lot of history. But they turned all those brothel areas upstairs into like offices and bathrooms. And there's a hidden bar in the back called Nate's Bar. And it's a cash only bar. And this guy's been around like since Nam. Like he's been there forever. It's his bar. And it's like this really cool little hole in the wall bar. So we hung out there for a while. Talked about because MLK got shot a block over from where we were at. So we talked about like, hey, have you ever met MLK? He's like, yeah, I was there for his last speech, just hanging out, meeting all kinds of like interesting people that were coming through.
Wow, just like history, like in
massive
live person, not like in a museum.
No, like we're talking to this guy about like real American history. It is so cool. And like all the people he knows that have come to the bar that are celebrities that are like regulars or will come in like 20 years later and be like, hey, Nate, I haven't seen you in a while. And I'm like, hey, what's up?
Like, who are some of the celebrities he named?
So one of them that was really cool that I remember off the top of my head before we got too drunk was a guy named Shane Battier, who you wouldn't know. But Shane Battier is like a massive basketball player, played for Duke and then played for a bunch of different teams. Grizzlies was one of them. And he used to go to the bar a lot. And that's where he met his wife, was at Nate's Bar.
What?
And then he moved away, went to play for Miami Heat, and they got an NBA championship in Miami. And that very same night, he flew on a private jet or however he flew, came straight to Memphis, and they celebrated at Nate's Bar with Nate to like, hey, man, I got the championship ring finally. And there with his wife. So he had all this whole storyline of going there, meeting his wife and now sharing the championship with Nate. I was like, wow, that's really cool. Like he flew there and the first place he went was to see you, to show you the ring. Like, that's really cool. Like, that's really, really special.
Dang,
that you had that kind
like
of relationship.
A really special dude right here.
Yeah, people were like, as we're sitting there, people would come in and go, man, I came here 25 years ago and had some special, like this really cool party and da da da. And this one guy was like, yeah, I'm now like a equity firm guy and worth millions of dollars. And all these people had these crazy stories of coming here as a kid or a teenager and then coming back and seeing him in that moment. Like it was like one by one. It was like they're all come by to pay their respects to Nate and the bar.
So how old do you think Nate is?
I think he's a vampire. He could be 300 years old.
I was going to say, I feel like he has to be like 80 at least, like somewhere in that range.
At least 80, yeah. And he's just sitting there, music's cranked up. He's smoking cigarette after cigarette and just kind of laughing and having a good old time. Like he was the coolest dude. I think he made that trip for us in Memphis. I'm trying to pull a picture just so you can see it. Others won't be able to see it, but it'll show for you.
That's insane. And so like anybody can go up there, or is it like,
you don't even know because you're walking around, but this is the guy, Nate, just an OG.
Okay. I did see this picture you guys posted. Yes.
Yeah. We just talked about everything. We talked about Elvis, MLK, the Budweiser factory. He used to work at the Budweiser factory, Tom Brady. We're talking about Tom Brady, Shane Battier and all kinds of stuff. Like it was just like, it was the coolest, but you would not know unless you are a regular, like people who are coming there as a tourist. They may know to go there because it's part of like one of the tourist stops, but they wouldn't know to go upstairs. They would just probably drink at the bar and think this is really cool and then bounce. But yeah, if you venture upstairs, which you would not know to go upstairs because it's kind of hidden in the back, but you go upstairs and there it is, old brothel and Nate's Bar in the corner.
Wild.
It was such a cool experience.
How long were you all there for?
Oh, we were there for a few hours.
You closed down the bars?
We didn't close it down because we ended up leaving around like 11:30-ish, but we got there, I forget what time we got there, but we got there at night. And then we had probably like 6 or 7 drinks, which I usually have 1 or 2.
Oh, y'all were having a time.
Yes, but we weren't driving. So I was like, okay, my first time in an Uber in a while.
It was dad's weekend off.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah, and we were on a high. We had a great press junket and everything was really cool. And so we get pretty tipsy and Eddie had like 6 or 7 beers. I had several whiskey and Cokes.
Hey, several beers and whiskey and Cokes are 2 different things, Scuba.
Yeah.
A difference in drunkenness there.
I was a little more drunk than Eddie was probably. And then we were like, okay, let's go downstairs and let's close out our tab down because it's 2 different bars. Upstairs, Cash Bar. Downstairs, Ernstine and Hazel's. We had a card on file. Go downstairs and there's now a performer there now. We hear it. I'm like, we're hearing it. Like, oh, this is a pretty good. This guy sounds really good. Like, holy crap. This guy's awesome. We get closer and closer. And then there's a performer, as you see in most places now. You have a guy playing the guitar. But we were enthralled because he's playing guitar and he's got this board in front of him. He's got like 9 or 9, 10 different pedals. Which if you play a guitar, you know like what that means. Basically, he can like change the sound on his guitar, and then he would record something, and then he'd let that play on a loop, and then he'd play like a solo over it. And I'm like, wow, this guy's going hard. He's really, really good. And then I walked on, he's singing Incubus Drive.
Interesting. Okay. You know, the,
whatever. Da,
yeah. Na, na, na,
na. This song. We're like, all right, okay, cool, sweet.
Yeah, he's got a good voice.
And then this comes on. So, okay, cool. And he's even with like a little bit of a raspy voice and does a cool little like solo.
And I also think I heard you and Eddie singing in that one a little bit.
Oh, we were definitely singing in these videos, yeah. And this is the one right here.
Okay,
So this is the video we're all talking about. So he's singing it. I think he's killing it.
Yeah,
even sober,
great.
He's doing really great. Drunk, everyone's great.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, especially if you guys were even drunk, you're like, oh, my God, he's amazing. He's the best I've ever heard in my life.
Listen to that. It's Eddie going, yes, sir. So I record that. And then I swear to you, it was Eddie that goes, dude, you should send it to Gavin. And I was like, and then I think we had one of those moments like, nah. And he's like, yeah, dude, send it. And I was like, nah, it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, but Gavin, he's a bar dude. Like, he owns a bar. He goes out late. He hangs out with McKitty, who works here in the building, Big 98. I was like, he's one of McKitty's dudes. Like, he's got to be up. It's like, come on. I was like, ah, screw it. So I sent him the video. And I'll pull the text.
The best part is that I'm picturing this and like you and Eddie just had to be pretty drunk for this all to
really
happen,
drunk.
For this all to like transpire.
Yes. And I wanted to preface that I have never done this before. This is the first time I've ever done this through peer pressure. And so I send Gavin DeGraw the video and I said, dude's killing it in Memphis. And we were going to play Gavin DeGraw's interview on Monday. This was, I think, Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude's killing it in Memphis. We going to play him back on Monday instead of you. I was like, ha, 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 ha. And I sent the video. And then he doesn't respond for a while. And let's see what time did he finally respond. He responds, 15 minutes later.
Okay.
He responds, yes. And so we're like, cool. That's awesome. So then the guy takes a break who's playing guitar. And now we're all like, should we tell him that Gavin DeGraw saw his video?
Oh my God. So you did. I assume
of course
tell
we
the
did.
Performer.
So we walk out there, we're like, hey man, I was like, that was a great job. That was amazing. We give him all, pay him all these compliments. Hey, what's your name? And we find each other on Instagram. His name is Charvy McLemore.
Oh, you guys had a time with this man.
Oh yeah, we hang out with Charvy for sure. We were out there talking, chopping up until our Uber came. We're like, hey, I just want to let you know. I was like, I've never done this before and I don't know if we should have done it, but I was like, we sent Gavin DeGraw a performance of you performing his song I Don't Want to Be, and he's like, wow, dude, that's so cool, awesome, man, wow. I'm like, did he respond? I was like, yeah, he responded. He just wrote yes.
I also like just listening to the text messages and the fact of what you said, and all he responded was yes.
Yeah.
Not sure how to feel about that.
It was like, send me his number, I want to put him on tour with me. Wow, cool.
It wasn't
his name.
Oh, this is awesome, haha, that's funny. Like, it was just, yes.
So, he didn't know what to say. I realized that in retrospect. That I should not have ever done that.
Poor Gavin. And also, like, this is funny because you and Eddie, neither one of you get drunk very often, let alone together.
Yes.
And this is also probably why you're not allowed to get drunk together.
We egged each other on completely.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
I know if it was just one of you, neither one of you would have done it. But the fact that you were both together, you were both having a time.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. You know, when you go out and at night and you have a little too much to drink, you're like, that sounds like a great idea.
That's
you wake up
idea.
The next morning and you're like, that did not sound like a good idea.
Who are you and why are you in my bed?
Yeah, I feel like that's the moment you guys probably had the next morning.
Oh, my wife, if she were there, she'd be like, no, you're not doing that. Don't do that. I'm like, come on. She'd be like, no. I'm like, all right, you're right. I won't do it. She would have been like the level head. No matter, she could have had 1,000 drinks. She would have said no. But you put me and Eddie together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a little whiskey cokes and beers and having a time.
Yep, having
do
a time.
Do you regret it? Or are you just over it at this point?
It's whatever. At this point, it's whatever.
you just accepted it.
And of everyone I could have sent it to, Gavin DeGraw, I think, is the most laid back and chill and cool and whatever. I wouldn't have given
Very
a crap.
Very true. He's yeah. the greatest guy. So I believe that part of it.
Yes. But. Yeah. I'll never text him again unless he hits me up.
I think you might have ruined the opportunity for him to hit you up. But I appreciate that we are now moving on from this moment.
Yes. Well, but the rest of the trip was awesome, though.
Yeah, you guys had a good time.
It was a really, really good time. The road trip there was awesome. It was a little bit of a mess, like, on their end, but, like, the organization. But it was the trip as a whole was really, really good. We met Priscilla, who's Elvis Presley's ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And that same night, we were drunk, go back to the hotel.
No, you didn't.
But it's so weird. Like if you're thinking of Priscilla Presley, like, she's literally the ultimate female, like, was married to the most difficult man in history, Elvis Presley. Like, she had to have the thickest skin to deal with that forever and have a... Like, she's a G. Like, she's a badass.
How long were they married for? I mean, I know they're married because I know of her last name, but I just...
I mean, ended in divorce. She eventually couldn't handle it anymore and then divorced him, and then I think he died, like, a few months later. But I don't know how long they were married for. I'm sure the internet will tell us.
I know I'm looking. My internet's terrible right now, but, like, I'm just so curious about that. Oh, they were married for 5 years.
Oh, 5 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So not very long, but maybe they were dating prior to that for a minute. I don't know. But 5 years is still a long time to deal with someone like Elvis Presley.
This is just like the top thing. It says, Priscilla met Elvis in Germany, where he was stationed with the U.S. Army. When she was 14 and he was 24, the couple married 8 years later and welcomed their daughter, Lisa Marie Presley, in 1968.
Oh, so that means they were together for a good... 5 years marriage, 8 years dating. Mm-hmm.
They were together a long time, but only married for 5 years. But also interesting because she was 14
years old. Yeah,
so then being married for a long, or not together for a long time was interesting.
Yes, I'm sure they had a relationship still. Probably not legally, but they did. But that's 13 years with somebody dealing with that kind of a person.
Yeah,
like an Elvis type personality who the whole world wants. That could be stressful. So we're like, so that kind of an ilk of a celebrity status is what I was trying to paint. You would not think would be someone who'd just be chilling in the lobby at a hotel. You think she'd be protected. She'd have security. She'd have people around her. If she was doing a press thing, they would have shooed her along and told her to go up to her room and leave all these peasants alone.
Yeah.
We come back to the hotel lobby, and this is like hours after the premiere, and she's chilling in the lobby, just hanging out. And every once in a while, a fan will come up and talk to her. And then Eddie goes, "That's Priscilla Presley." And we're super drunk. And I was like, "No, she's all by herself. Why is she by herself?" But that's not Priscilla. And she turns around. I'm like, "Oh my God, it's Priscilla Presley." She's looking at us. And Eddie goes, "Hey, Priscilla, can we get a picture?" And she's like, "Sure." And she takes a picture. And then I'm like, I didn't want to ask for a picture. I never asked for pictures. And Eddie goes, "Dude, get in there, get a picture.
You should have.
You want a picture?" And I was like, "Are you sure?" I was like, "Priscilla, do you mind?" And I was like, and she's like, "Yeah, fine." So I got a picture of Priscilla as well. I'm like, this is so rad. Like 11:30 at night, midnight, she's in the hotel lobby just talking to fans. Like, how cool is that?
No, that's awesome.
Really, really cool.
Is there like a hotel bar or something that she was hanging out at? Or was she just like in the lobby?
So the way so Elvis Presley's house, they call Graceland.
Yeah.
And next to it, they built this relatively new hotel they call the Guest House.
Gotcha.
And it's like three wings and it's a big hotel, but it's all like Elvis Presley themed and obviously towards him and his family. So you got a lobby. Next to the lobby, there's a hotel bar. And then you got elevators and rooms. So she was in the lobby / hotel bar area hanging out with by herself, what it seemed like. But there were still some people there from the press junket, Warner Brothers people. Like there was like some stragglers that were left over from the movie screening. But so I was just surprised she had hung around that long after the movie screening. I'm like, what the heck is going on right now? This is so cool.
Well, I wonder she's older now. So I just wonder like if she's like kind of in retirement, she's hanging out, like
just chilling.
Yeah. Then maybe that's something that's fun for her because she actually gets to be out and about and
maybe.
It's like controlled environment rather than being out and about somewhere else and it's not controlled.
Yeah. Cause there wasn't a lot of people. It was like maybe 15, 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter was not having it. Her daughter was gone. She was already out. All the grandkids were gone, but it was just her. I was like, okay. But to your point,
yeah.
Maybe she's like, this is a controlled environment. I feel safe. if something goes down, like, but this would be a space where no one would really want to mess with her because we're all huge fans of her and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're right. Yeah. But it was really cool. I was like, wow, oh my gosh. And Tom Hanks was there that weekend as well at the Elvis Junket, but we missed him.
He was there?
He was there. He was at, so they, every time they do like a press screening, there's always like a sit down before for like, they do like 20 minutes with usually the director and like a couple of the actors in the film. They just kind of talk about stuff for a little bit and then they screen the film. Well, so we were going to go in for our screening to watch the film, and the service was awful. And Eddie's, one of our jobs was to post, you know, Instagram stories and things like that to, on our Instagram. And he wanted to post all these little things. And I was like, just post a letter. Who cares? Like, I want to post it now.
Yeah, could have waited. I mean,
totally could have waited. Could have done it any other time. Any other time. Like later on the evening, the next day, whatever. Who cares? It's Saturday night. Let's move on. And so he's like, no, I got to get this posted now. So the only way we could get a Wi-Fi was to go back up to the room. So I was like, all right. So we go back up to the room. And in that 20, 30 minute window, that's what they did. The whole like, here's Baz Luhrmann, Austin Butler, special guest, Tom Hanks, and all these things. Because then I'm looking on everyone's Instagram handle because my friend Erica's there. And I'm seeing all these pictures posts and everyone else posting stuff. And I go, holy crap, Tom Hanks is here. Like, Tom Hanks is here. And I'm like, do I tell Eddie? Do I not tell Eddie? Because by the time he gets down there, it's already done there. This movie's already on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I didn't tell him because I didn't want to like, you know.
Oh, so he still doesn't know.
Oh, he knows now. I told him on the drive home. Like, you idiot. You should have just stuck it out. We should have stayed there and just, you would have seen Tom Hanks. Because I had a feeling that Tom Hanks was going to be there because you'd seen him the day before at CMA Fest. I'm like, why would he be here in Nashville unless he was going to be like, oh, two birds, one stone. Let's take my wife to
That's
go see
exactly
CMA.
Why.
And then we'll go to Memphis. I have to be in Memphis anyway. So I might as well do both. And then I'll go home and go wherever. I guess he went to New York next. So that was, I was like, this totally makes sense. He'd be here. And sure enough, freaking Tom Hanks is there.
Oh my gosh. You guys.
Yep.
Talk about Eddie getting karma twice for ditching me Thursday night and wanting to post something on Saturday night and not seeing Todd. That is his own karma.
Yep. Twice he got hit. You're right. Because he was supposed to be there Thursday night and he wasn't.
That is his own karma coming back. I do. If anybody doesn't believe in karma, now
that's
is
it.
Your reason.
Like, two times in the same like couple days, like 2-3 days.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Missed
that's
both
insane.
Opportunities.
But I bet he wouldn't have stayed and talked after like the rest of them did. I saw like Austin Butler talk to you guys for a while. And
yeah, he wasn't in part. So before all that, they put us in like a media area to like meet everyone. And Tom Hanks was not part of that.
Yeah. So it's like you guys could have seen him, but meeting him probably wouldn't have happened.
No. And I even tried to explain to him like, hey, it's fine. Don't worry about you. You met Priscilla. Like I was trying to call him.
Yeah, that is.
Talk him off the ledge.
And you met Austin Butler, who is a massive actor right now.
Huge. So I'm trying to talk him off the ledge. Like, it's fine. You'll meet. He's like, but I've never seen Tom Hanks in the flesh. You ever seen Tom Hanks in the flesh? I'm like, I'm not gonna tell him that I have. I don't know, dude, but yeah, but you saw Priscilla, like the queen, Elvis's wife. How many people got that photo? Like, and like, no one did. And he's like, yeah, you're right. But Tom Hanks in the flesh. I'm like, we work in an industry where it's gonna happen at some point.
Yeah, you hope so, at least.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
you hope so.
I hope for him because he was not happy when he saw me with mine. And I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But I'm just so glad y'all had a great time at Graceland because everything looked super fun. And
yes.
How was the movie?
Movie was good. It's one of those things where, obviously, if you're an Elvis fan, no matter what, you're going to like it because you're just a homer. You're going to be all about it.
Yeah.
If you like Baz Luhrmann films, which I like The Great Gatsby just because.
Love The Great Gatsby.
Right? Mm-hmm. So he likes making movies in that time period, like that 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, which is Elvis's time period, 50s
also
and 60s.
Like a little bit his age range, right? He's older.
He's a much older guy. He looks like, with tons of plastic surgery, he's also a vampire. He could probably be 130.
Because I saw you had posted, I think it was you, maybe it was Eddie, but one of you guys had posted like a video of him that was out there. And I was like, oh my gosh, how old is that man?
Oh yeah. He looks like, he probably is like 100, but he with all the things he's done to him, he probably is like, looks like he's 60.
Interesting. He's only 59 years old.
What? That's a lie.
Oh, listen, that's what,
That can't be true. That can't be true. Is that Wikipedia?
No, it literally says 59. He was born September 17th, 1962.
I don't know.
I think your guys' video also, and as you're saying in person, looks different. But these pictures of him, he doesn't look super old. Maybe it's just because his hair is so white.
Could be,
it comes off of that. But like, he's also like a silver fox. Like, he's a good looking dude.
Yeah, he's not a bad looking guy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he looks like someone who's been around for a while, but looks good for his. But I could have sworn he was older. Maybe like,
interesting.
And like the 60s. This happened before when I had Neo in studio a long time ago. You know Neo?
Neo?
Closer.
N-E-Y-O?
Yes, closer. So he was in studio one time and, like in our prep for the interview, like you just put the crap, like his, at the time it was like his Facebook page, his MySpace and all this crap like that. And his age, and I put his age on there. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but let's say it was, his age was 29 And then he's like, oh, I said, man, you're doing a lot for 29. He's like, 29? He goes, no, I'm 34. And he goes, what? He goes, and then I remember the host getting so pissed at me. He's like, Steve, come in here. And I was like, what? He goes, Neo, 29? And I go, yeah, it's what it said online, 29. He goes, show me that right now. So I pulled up right in front of him and Neo, and I'm like, look, 29. He goes, oh, I bet my team did that to make it seem like I was younger. He goes, nah, dude, I'm like 30. He goes, I'm 34. He goes, I'm not 29 years old. His team controlled the internet to make him seem like he's younger. So whatever Neo is now on the internet, add 5 years to it.
Interesting. I wonder what it does say now. Neo age.
And I wonder if they ever changed
it. He's 42.
42? Well, that is a lie. He is 47.
Do you think that's actually true? Like now that it's still fixed?
Well, let's think 42. How many years ago that was?
He would be born in 1979.
1979. And when I did that show, that was about 13 years ago. So 13, 20. No, so they'd be lying still. His age is not 42.
Interesting. I do think that probably happens some online. And I don't even think they probably like review it with the people. They just kind of do it as an image thing.
It's totally for
because
image.
Because age is typically not talked about either.
Yeah.
Until you start getting older and you start like just recognizing that people are changing.
Mm-hmm. Like Beyonce, whatever age she says she is, that's a lie too. She's older.
Oh yeah, but she such doesn't a look a day over 30.
No, not at all. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, another person drinking baby core blood.
Something's going on in the water. I need to start drinking it. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, but movie great. What movie would you great. Give it?
I would give it 4 blue suede shoes out of 5.
4 out of 5? Not even 5 out of 5 after all that?
Well, it's a really long film. It's over 2.5 hours.
Oh, that
and,
is long.
And I could see some people misinterpreting it because it's very fast paced, like boom, 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 boom. But I feel like artistically they did that because Elvis's life was very fast. Go, 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 go. And a lot of bad decisions. And I think it's a really good film. I think it's really cool. But I just know critics are very, very harsh. And I can see them being harsh on the runtime. I can see them being harsh on it being too fast and not thinking about why things are done a certain way. But if you love Moulin Rouge, if you love Great Gatsby, the Baz Luhrmann films, the color, the way he shoots it and the cinematography is beautiful. I think it's an awesome film.
Oh, I'm going to love this because I'm obsessed with both of those movies. So.
And the music, too. And the music in it's also really cool. And Austin Butler is a great actor. And he put so much time into the role to become Elvis and sound like Elvis and sounds
he's
a lot like him.
Also a freaking babe. So him being Elvis just makes sense.
Oh, totally. Like all the other ones, for example. What's the one, Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh yeah, what's his name?
Rami Malek or Rami?
Yeah, yeah, Rami Malek. Rami Malek. Rami,
yeah,
Malek,
Rami, yeah. Malek plays. What's his name? Damn, what's his name? I can't think of his name.
Freddie
Mercury.
Queen.
He plays Freddie Mercury, but
I'm surprised I knew that there instead of you.
Yes, he plays Freddie Mercury, but he doesn't sing any of the songs. Mm-hmm. They try to hide that. It's Mark Martel. He sings all the songs. Who's been on our show?
Yeah,
and he sings all the songs. But in this case, for Elvis, Austin Butler actually sings the songs. He's singing it, and he's the voice, and he's everything. So even there, it's like another little notch of like, this is super authentic and really, really cool.
Yeah, super talented.
Yes.
Human. I mean, he's already been blowing up, so he's definitely just going to keep headed on that atmosphere.
And he's so cool. Like him and I were having a real conversation until Eddie pulled out his stupid phone. Like I was like, we were like legit, like just talking about, I don't remember what we're talking about. Like it was like, I think he asked about my nickname, Scuba Steve. And we started talking about something else. And then Eddie puts his arm around and pulls the phone out and he goes, you could see him in the video.
Oh my God, that video made me so uncomfortable.
Because him and I are like having a real, you could see we're having a real conversation. And then Eddie pulls up the phone and I go, oh, we're doing that now, huh? And then Austin goes, hey, now I got to put on my okay face. Like, I got to play along to this. I'm like, oh, Eddie.
You know what Eddie did in that moment?
What?
He pulled a freaking lunchbox.
He did.
I'm not kidding you. When I saw that video, because I was watching all your guys' stuff, I had to like repost some of it and all that. And I saw that video and I cringed, first of all.
Yes.
And then secondly, I was like, he straight up looks like Lunchbox. That's a Lunchbox move that he just did.
Yeah.
That he gives Lunchbox a hard time all the time about.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what just happened.
Because you saw Austin's demeanor, right? He was like having a conversation with me and it quickly went to, oh, crap.
Yep.
I'm on someone's cell phone right now. Okay.
Yeah. And like you could still have done that at the end. Like you guys could have kept talking. And when the conversation naturally ended, you could have just been like, hey, can we grab a picture real quick?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the easiest way to get both, right?
Totally. Have the conversation and then move on.
Yep.
Because even I had to like try to soften the blow. I was like, oh, we're doing this now? I don't know if Eddie posted that part of the video.
Oh, I think you hear it.
We're doing this now. We're recording this. And I can see Austin going like, thank you for someone being human and understanding that this is weird.
Yeah.
That we as society think that it's okay at all points in the world. We can just pull our phone and go, hey, or hey, I'm recording you. Like, that's so effing annoying.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
he
my did, God,
he
so
pulled
annoying.
The lunchbox. So he did next it. Time. We hear it on the show where he's giving him a hard time.
Yep,
somebody's got to throw a red flag because Yeah. You did it, and we have video proof of it.
Exactly.
Literally.
Yes, we do.
Oh, man. Well, I didn't see Elvis yet. I'm excited. Now, because of your review and all your conversations, yeah. I'm so excited to see it.
It comes out next Friday, June 24th.
Okay. I think I'm going to have to go. I mean, I already went to my first movie, Top Gun Maverick, by myself.
In a theater?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. This is definitely a theater movie. This is a theater movie for sure.
So maybe Elvis, I will do the same.
Yeah. Okay. What's it like going to a theater by yourself?
It was so freeing. It was such a good experience. I was nervous at first. People were looking at me all funky. I felt like.
Thinking like something. Again, that we were talking about earlier. Yes. The voices in your head. Turn them off. Mm-hmm. No one's thinking that.
But then as soon as I sat down and I was just like sitting there by myself and enjoying the movie, I was like, this is amazing. Nobody's talking to me. I can just sit here and enjoy it. And I can leave right after and like just enjoy the time that I have by myself.
That's cool.
It was freeing. So maybe my second one will be Elvis.
Yes, I think it should be.
I see a theme in attractive men that I go to watch the movies of.
Top Gun.
I did watch Hustle on Netflix.
Okay.
So good.
Yeah.
4 out of 5
whistles.
I don't know. Basketballs. I'm not very clever with my rating system.
Sixers.
4 out of 5. Great movie.
Okay.
Adam Sandler was really cool to watch in it, and the lead guy is super attractive. So that was fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then I did watch Interceptor on Netflix as well.
Interceptor.
It has Chris Hemsworth's wife in it. She's like the lead in it, and Chris Hemsworth makes like cameos in it, which was like kind of threw me off.
Oh, I didn't even know about this.
It just came out recently, and I loved the storyline. It was pretty interesting, and she is just a badass. Like,
well, critics go hard on it, 45%.
Yeah, listen, like she is a BA. Like, she doesn't get enough like street cred or whatever, anything credibility. But she's amazing. But yeah, as far as like the movie itself, like I would not watch it again. It was meh.
Oh, not really that good?
Nah, okay. I'd give it like 2 out of 5.
Elsa Pataky, is that her name?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Is it Pataky, Pataky?
Yeah, you have the right name. I just don't know how to say it correctly.
Elsa Pataky.
Why
didn't you go by Elsa Hemsworth?
Well, she was an actress in her own right before they got married, I believe. So they're kind of on their own separately. And she's pretty big. I'm not sure where she's from, but I'm pretty sure she was big there. And then, you know, all the things. But they were both in that movie.
You know, I started watching more because you told me to do more into season 2.
Which one?
Was Upload.
Yeah, did you?
Oh, my God. I'm halfway through season 2, and I'm like, they could definitely do more. Uh-huh. So I don't want to ruin it for anyone watching it, but holy crap, if you have not watched Upload, you need to watch it from the beginning because it is, it is what they do. It's like all the things that I was thinking in my head. I'm like, they wouldn't go there, but they went there.
I'm telling you.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why when you're talking about it, I was like, you just have to watch season 2.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Wow, is that cool.
So good, right? But you haven't finished it yet?
I haven't finished through season 2 yet, because then that's when we went to go pick up my kids from the bay, and so now we don't have TV time anymore.
Oh, no. TV time. No.
We watch everything he wants and she wants.
Fair.
Paw Patrol movie.
But you just need to make some time this weekend.
I know.
And just watch the last of them, because you'll be like, oh my God, it's so good. But also hold on to it, maybe until they come out with season 3 so you can...
Is season 3, is that going to be a thing?
I believe they confirmed a season 3, but I don't know if they've started shooting it yet or anything.
Okay.
Of course, all the movies and shows I watch always take so long to film and come out later.
They do, especially if they came out before COVID and then they're on a hold till after. Outer Range on Amazon Prime is another one you should watch.
Outer Range.
It's about this guy who finds basically a hole in the ground on his ranch. And I'll leave it there.
Is it like a thriller, sci-fi type situation?
It's sci-fi, thriller, but also like a ranch show.
Okay.
It's on a ranch, and there's like a little bit of action and drama, and there's a huge like plot line that creates. It's really
I
think
you'd
love it.
Okay.
I think you'd love it, yeah.
Is it scary?
It's not scary. It's just thriller. Like the things that happen, you're like, oh my God, wow.
Okay, I can do thriller, but I can't do scary. So I always try and make sure I don't start watching something.
But it also makes you believe like this could be a thing in the middle of nowhere, like in our country that we just don't see because it's this guy owns a farm that's like 500 acres big and no one can explore all that land. And one day he gets to a part where he never went. And then he's like, oh my gosh, there's a hole in the earth.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Upload on Amazon and Outer Range. Amazon.
I think they just are releasing season 2 now. Okay. Season 1's been out for a minute, but oh my God, it's another really good one.
Okay, I'm gonna check that out because you also listened to me and did Upload. I will listen and watch Outer Range.
Yeah, I'm only 2 episodes in, but I'm extremely hooked. Oh yeah. Oh my God.
Well, if I get past the 2 episodes, I tell you, I'll be like, Scuba, we got a problem. Because I do binge watch. This is the thing.
Yeah, between 1 and 2, they're great. So.
Okay, fine. 1 and 2, I will only hold you accountable for. But also check out Hustle on Netflix. We did have Adam Sandler on, and that movie's really great. And critics gave that like awesome scores. So cool for him. Really awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Heck yeah. I think it was like his highest rating Netflix film or something.
Yeah, at least highest critiqued film ever or something like that, which how he doesn't have more Heidi ratings, I have no idea.
Everyone hates on the concept if it's like, most of his movies are movies you watch and turn your brain off and just enjoy it. Yeah. You can't critique the hell out of his movies. Like if you were to really critique Happy Gilmore, like there's a lot of crap in there that like it's stupid, but it's a stupid movie. You just
I don't feel like you can critique comedies or rom-coms. Those are meant to be like just hit you however it hits you.
A little cheesy. It's fine.
Like it's not meant to be like, oh my God, 2 stars.
Yeah. The plot line, I just didn't get it. It didn't pay off and shut up.
Yeah.
You're a critic because you couldn't make films yourself.
Exactly.
Yes.
So we've said it right here. Comedies, rom-coms, do not look at audience or critique score or anything.
Exactly.
Just watch it.
Even sometimes action films, I feel like they're just stupid. And that's just the way it is. Like no one could really jump off a building and survive, but it's fun to watch.
True.
You know,
it is fun to watch.
Like all those like dumb action movies, a lot of them are dumb, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Hey, Steve said it. That's just the way it is.
Just the way it is. Da-na-na, da-na-na, da-na-na.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Also on the show this week, we of course had rejected segments, but right now I want to share something with y'all because, you know, there's segments that get added on the air and then there's rejected segments that were initially rejected and then still get talked about on air. But then there's segments that never see the light of day. Okay. And I need to tell you about the story, Scuba. And it's probably not super interesting, but you know what? I thought it was interesting. Okay.
All right. Tell me.
This is my rejected segment.
rejected segments.
Double rejection. So I went to a waterfall about an hour outside of Nashville.
Okay. I saw that one when you went to. Yeah.
Yeah. Insane waterfall. Remy
too. Really cool.
Yeah.
What was it called?
It's called Cummins Falls.
Okay.
And you have to have a permit to go in there. I don't think it costs very much, but you need that permit to go in. That way they can manage how many people are there. Because this didn't used to be the case. And some people got, you know, not well afterwards.
Okay.
Because it is, there's so much river. There's a lot. You have to make sure you're paying attention to weather and all of these things. So they,
not a place for me to take my kids.
No, you can. There were kids there. There's a watering hole once you make it to there. But you are hiking, so you just want to make sure that everybody there is like able-bodied.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I had to carry Remy at a few parts because she didn't want to wade through the waters. But so if I can carry Remy, I think the kids are good.
Okay, cool.
Just depending on how much you feel you want to carry. But yeah. it is a decent little hike to the waterfall. But they have park rangers there now. They've regulated it so much that there's like full-on park rangers. There was four of them there at the watering hole.
Uh-huh.
And there's like two, there can be a max of 200 people out there. And so everybody's like hanging out here and we're all just like enjoying the waterfall. And we're just happy we made it to the waterfall after the adventure to get there.
And it's probably really hot outside. You're like, finally some cool water. Yeah.
Yeah, having a good time. And as we're watching these park rangers, one of them has to rescue a guy. I literally watched a guy get rescued.
Oh my God. Wow. Like drowning?
Yeah. At least from what we could tell, we're not sure. Cause like you can, like while you're walking to these boulders and trying to get across and maneuver to get to the waterfall, like you can fall in the water and there are streams that could push you further away. Like you just have to be very careful. Right.
Yeah.
And so we don't know how this guy got into this position, but in the waterfall, he was like splashing around. It looked like he was drowning. We're not sure if he was stuck or what, but the ranger just kept yelling at him, pull the rope, grab the rope, grab the rope. We heard him say that like 10 times before the guy finally grabbed the rope and like pulled him up.
Was the guy just like going under like he had water in his ears or something?
We kept seeing his head. Uh-huh. So I'm just not sure if he didn't hear him or what, but like
panicking, freaking out.
It was such a weird thing to experience from the thing because everybody just stood there. Nobody was like, rushing around, trying to make sure he was okay. It was the ranger had it under control.
Yeah. Don't mess with that.
But like the ranger was trying to be as like kind but mean as possible of saying grab the damn rope.
Yeah.
And so I just like I've never been in a situation where I've had to see that happen before. And it was so interesting. Like so glad the guy's okay. Cool. Yeah. That's the number one thing. He's okay, all good. But on top of that, just watching the ranger like be as nice as possible, also as mean as possible, like I just have never expected that to be how that went down. And I guess I never even knew how I expected it to go down.
And that's what it's all about. And that was Tell Me Something Good.
Literally.
It's like you hear them in those stories and you read them on the news and you see them in movies, never full on really see it in real life. Like IRL, as the cool kids say.
Yes.
Like IRL rescue.
I saw an IRL rescue
happen. World star.
Yeah. It wasn't a kid either. Like it was probably a dude my age, somewhere around there. And
once he saved them, was it kind of like, was he like, oh my God, or did he need medical attention?
He didn't need medical. I just think he got stuck and kind of panicked is what happened and was splashing around. So it was the safe situation.
Yeah.
So he pulled him out and he was okay. I think they got him some water and just got him to cool down and kind of, if he was panicking, to like kind of chill out. Because nothing came from that. And it's not like you can get like an ambulance in there. Like if anything, you're going to have to get life flighted out of there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If something
true.
Were to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You would need like a helicopter to come pick you up, like one of the little carriage things.
Mm-hmm. Which is also why there's so many rangers there, because they can stop that from getting to that point. Right.
Yeah. There's enough of them. Yeah. And they have enough training.
All the things. But it was just a weird experience because I just expected it to be so much different. And I don't know why. I like expected it to just be this like, oh my God, I'm gonna grab you, it's gonna be amazing. But it was like this intense, like nice but firm and mean. And
because it was real life, the guy was gonna die or not die.
Yeah,
there was no instrumental playing in the background, there was no like big band, like a John Williams score.
It was not like the movie.
It was dry. It was, there was no instrumental. It was grab the damn rope or you're gonna freaking die.
Literally, that's how it was. Like he's trying to be as nice as possible because this guy's panicking.
Sir, calm down.
Wild.
Think about your wife and kids.
Mm-hmm. That was my rejected segment. I
double rejected.
IRL save, and it was pretty cool and pretty scary at the same time.
My judgment, triple rejected.
That was a good story. Have you ever seen it in real life rescue? No. Have you?
Not like a bat magnitude. Yeah. See? Not like somebody who's about to almost die.
Exactly.
Yes, but like
IRL rescue.
Yeah. IRL rescue.
Rejected three times. Do you have a rejected segment you would like to share? Is that hating on mine?
I'm trying to think. Once I push them out there, I don't think about them ever again. So they're long gone.
Dang, scuba.
And they're either a lot of them get used or they don't get used or they get used later on.
Well, they get used on the best bits. That's what I've been trying to do. They get used all the time.
Yeah.
I'm trying anyway.
No, I think it was a good story. It was a fun story. And yours could have been, and it could have put it into the mix of a tell me something good. Mm-hmm. That's what it could have been.
Saw a rescue.
Instead of reading a story, Morgan's got the story here.
Mm-hmm. I did. There was at one point during this adventure too that I was carrying Remy and I definitely ate it in the, because you also had to have water shoes and I only had tennis shoes on. I didn't really plan ahead. And I should have. Yeah. My bad. But I was carrying Remy, and at one point I like slipped, and I literally like held her above the water, and I'm just like, okay, I'm here. I'm soaked, but she's here.
She's good. She's dry.
That's all that matters.
The animal is dry, yeah, she's like, but the human is wet.
Like, imagine holding a 20-pound dog over your head, and you're just like, well, okay, I'm going to have to get up somehow. So, yeah, because she can swim. She's a dog that could swim, but she doesn't like water. And since I didn't prepare for any of that, I wasn't trying to put her through the trauma.
The reverse, I would have been like, get in the damn water. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to dry. You're going to be wet.
Yeah, no. But I dried off so fast. It was so freaking hot out that I was you know what? 100 degrees. I cooled off. It was great. Oh, yeah. So you should go to the waterfall. I think you and your family would have a great time.
Yeah, I went to
there.
Fall Creek Falls one time. That was pretty cool.
That's a cool one.
That was
one.
A hell of a drive, though, but it was cool.
I will say, just in general, if you're traveling to Nashville and you want to do something that's like different and not normal, there are so many waterfalls from 1 hour to 3 hours from Nashville.
A lot of them.
There's
really cool.
So much to explore. And you can find them online super easily.
Yeah.
Just make sure you do some research for you.
Yeah, just a little research would help.
Yes.
Yeah, check out a TripAdvisor. Mm-hmm. See what you should do.
Some four things. Make sure you check out the park website, wherever they say, like, hey, this is what you need. This is what's happening.
Yep.
Especially if you've even been before, because that was the thing. I'd been to Cummins my first year I moved to Nashville. I hadn't been back in like 4 years, and so much had changed in that time frame. And I just wasn't thinking much like, oh, park doesn't change. Yeah. It does. They do. Yeah. Weather, things happen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, there's that. Okay.
A lot of things that affect
no rejected segment from Scuba, but there was mine. I do want to know, because Amy's son talked about bathroom photos.
Oh, yes.
Her son. Words hard. Amy's son had been sending her his bathroom photos, and that was a whole thing.
Yes.
It reminded me of that. There was a TV show once upon a time that was like Kids Do the Darndest Things or something like that, right?
There was a show, Kids Do the Darndest Things. Yeah, it was usually like, it's almost like a spinoff or a version of America's Funniest Home Videos, but like geared towards kids.
What is? And I want to know, like, is there anything strange that your kids have done yet that was like, it takes the cake? Like, this takes the cake for Amy, because she's like, why is this happening?
Well, on the line of poop, my son, when we were potty training him, he, for some reason, I don't know why, like he got the pee part right. He would go to the toilet and he would do all that. But then out of nowhere, I don't know what it was, he would only poop outside like a dog. I think he was maybe mimicking our dogs, because they would always go outside to go bathroom.
Yeah.
And so for the longest time, he would only poop outside. So I'd be outside like doing mowing the lawn or doing something or whatever. And I'm like, where's my son at? And I'm like, and sure enough, quietly over in the corner, pants are down, squatted over next to my dog, pooping. And then 2 seconds later, once he's done, he goes, I'm done, Dad. And I'm like, I see that now. 2 seconds later, here comes my dog, and he eats it.
Oh, my God, no.
And I'm like, what? And this would happen for like 6 months. He would only go outside. And then 2 seconds later, here comes my dog, ready to eat it. And I was like, this is disgusting. Because now I'm like, oh, my God. So I need to stay away from my dog, because if he tries to lick me or anything, he's got my son's poop in his mouth.
I literally almost want to vomit in my mouth right now, Scuba.
But at least my son eats organic food, so it's really good, healthy, clean poop. But my dog would eat it.
Yes, it's still poop, though.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So we couldn't break that habit for the longest time until just one day, all of a sudden, he just wouldn't do it anymore. Just maybe something clicked in his head, like, I shouldn't do this. But whenever we'd go places, I was nervous. Is he going to poop outside? We go to a friend's house.
He's like walking around outside. He's like, just pops a squat on the sidewalk.
Yeah. But I think he just learned through the dogs. My dogs would always like hang out with him. And, and I think he just, that's what the dogs do. So that's what I'm going to do.
That's like a Jungle Book metaphor in a way.
Like a Mowgli, yeah.
Like raised by the animals and then acts like the animals.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good one. But that will be a great story for your son when he gets older. He's like, yeah, I did that.
Oh, yeah. His girlfriend comes over. You see that tree over there? Yeah, he used to poop by that every for 6 months.
He's going to be so embarrassed until he finally just owns him. And like, that'll be his fun fact that he can share about himself.
I used to poop outside. My dog would eat it.
Yeah. That is a great fun fact. If you can like game stomach show. That, it's a great fun fact.
Like one of those like dating game shows. Hi, my name is so-and-so. And when I was 2 years old, I used to poop outside. My dog would eat it.
See? Great.
Nice to meet me.
automatically make people laugh. Yeah, in just like the easiest way.
Yeah, so random.
Dang. All right. Well, see, kids do the darndest things.
They do. Yes,
that probably
do.
Would have made number one on the video thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that I remember that and I'm not living in a fantasy world that actually existed.
Oh, yeah. I have videos. Sure. I was going to try to find a video of it, but I've got videos of him in the corner like trying to hide it. And like pooping outside.
That is wild. I love that. Also, if your kids do the darndest things, make sure to DM them to Scuba Steve because I think it'll make him feel better.
Yes, please normalize whatever my kids are doing.
I feel like there's a lot of that. There's just a lot of odd things that kids do when they're younger. They're exploring life. They're figuring it out.
Exactly. So. Exactly. That was the root of all this is they're figuring it out. So I never got mad at it. I was like, whatever, at least he's pooping in the yard. It's not like he's pooping inside the house and I got to physically clean it up. He's pooping and then someone's eating and it's gone. So it's circle of life.
Such an interesting story that I've never heard in my life before from anyone else.
Yeah.
So you take the cake for that story.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I guess when you were a kid, did you ever have anything that your parents would be like, oh my gosh, Morgan always did this.
No.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot that I don't know and that they like chose to forget, but I did always used to jump off coffee tables.
Okay, that's scary.
Yep. There are pictures of me jumping off coffee tables like midair because I just chose that was the thing I wanted to do when I was young. I was like 2 years old.
But you're a gymnast though at heart. You were used to jumping into things and doing crazy things like that.
I did like to do crazy things. Yeah. And yes, I did. So that started there. I always have one of the best kid photos of me is jumping off midair of a coffee table.
That's a cool shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wearing a diaper.
Literally. Yeah. And it was like, here I am.
Yeah.
So
here goes Morgan.
Mm-hmm. My parents gave up trying to stop me from doing it pretty young. That's the only thing I at least remember and that we have evidence of. I'm sure there is much worse. Though.
Oh my God. Yeah. If you said that your dad or mom down had a beer, you all kinds of stories.
Oh, there are. How I ended up singing on the show one time. So no, I refuse to let that happen anymore.
Yeah. As the EP of the show, I need to do research and talk to your parents.
Oh, they got lots of things. I mean, I used to sing to my animals, stuffed animals. I'd line them up. There's photos of that.
Okay.
I was obsessed with stuffed animals and I'd line them all up on our like fireplace area and I would sing to them.
Okay.
Often. Like every night. Often. And there are also videos of that.
Oh my God, it'd be great to see those on VHS, which will have to get converted.
Oh, thanks I'm
to
sure Legacy that's Box. In there, yeah. We have lots of videos of things. So there's
digitize
two.
That. Yeah. Okay.
You got any? I'm
What's
sure
that?
You have some.
Oh, like me, what I did as a kid? Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. I don't remember me doing anything. I mean, I don't remember anything. And I think because I was put into a glass box every night at 7 p.m., I think I wasn't able to do anything.
Mm.
So I can't think of anything that I did as a young, like a really little kid. My brother did a lot of crap. My brother was always hurting himself. Like one day we're sitting there. You know what? Popeyes has those sporks.
Yeah.
The spoon fork. It's plastic. Well, we're sitting there eating, and all of a sudden, I look over at my brother, and he's like, I'm like, what? He somehow got the spork to penetrate his lip. It pierced his lip, and now it looks like a spoon, because the whole spork part is in his lip. And basically, anything that you could not do, he would figure out a way to do it and injure himself in the process.
Problem child.
He was always getting hurt. So I think everything that, if I did anything and never competed with whatever he was going to do and hurting himself.
Fair. Well, if you ever remember one, you can come back on here and share of that memory, because I'm sure there are some in there.
There's got to be something,
yeah.
Once I think about it, there'll be something. But all I can think about is my brother always hurting himself.
The spork. Also, the spork reminds me of Forky from Toy Story 4.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you said that, I was like, Forky?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that could penetrate skin, but apparently it can.
You know, again, kids do the darndest things. Yeah. I would like that to make a revival.
Yeah.
I loved that
It'd be
show.
Awesome. It was a great show.
It was.
It's an awesome show.
Oh, man. And, you know, in at number three, it is the biggest moment of my CMA Fest life. I met Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. And y'all heard like the story. I shared it all, how I recognized Rita Wilson first.
Yeah.
And then I recognized Tom Hanks. And it was awesome. And that full story is coming up. If you want to listen to the best bits, it's all in there. And it's amazing. Like, top moment of my life, but also of CMA Fest.
And super random.
Yeah.
You just saw them in a regular, like, seated area. It wasn't like you were in a press box area or anything that was exclusive. Oh, that makes sense. There's Tom.
Purely in the wild. And I also look back and I'm like, probably should have gone up to him while Jason Aldean was on stage. But I was like, I thought that was my only chance.
Exactly. Yeah.
I did not see another window happening. And I was like, I'm just going to go for it.
And he legit was really totally cool with it.
Mm-hmm. But at first he couldn't hear me. He put his hand up to his ear. He's like, I'm not sure what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I repeated and he knew I was trying to be friendly and just be nice. I wasn't trying to like take up a lot of time. But I really did. After he took like the selfie of us, I straight up blacked out. Like, I don't even think I said thank you. So Tom Hanks Rita wasn't thank you for the photo to me. But I literally blacked out and I think ran away because I was trying to make sure nobody else saw them.
That's the problem. Because that happens where then it becomes like almost like a line to get a picture with them.
And I also think that's why it was perfect happening. As much as I'm like, oh, I probably should have not done it during the thing, it was probably perfect that I did because
everyone's paying attention to Jason.
Yep. Nobody's paying attention to what's happening behind.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And like we were in this little area too, I will say it's like, it was the industry area, but it was also all the family friends of people in the industry. So it wasn't like,
but even them though, they would still be like, oh my God, Tom Hanks, holy crap.
Yes. But like, so it was a mix of fans and people in the industry. So they were paying attention. So, but if I'm taking a picture with someone, nobody would have thought twice of it because in that area, we're all taking pictures with each other. Some people know each other, whatever.
Yeah.
So it wasn't thought of. Until, like, unless you actually looked around and been like, oh, that's
holy crap,
that's
Tom Hanks. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does. He doesn't look like he looks in the movies. Like, just as far as, like, of course, every actor and actress, no matter their age, is all dolled up in movies. So they're not going to look the same in person. And he has glasses on. And
he has a lot of roles where he's not himself. He, like, puts on stuff and he looks different.
Yeah. And he doesn't look like Forrest Gump. Like,
yeah.
He looks like a regular guy that's lived a life.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he looks like. But they do. Like, when I took that picture, he has a great smile.
I don't know
if he kept that up all this time, but great smile.
Oh, yeah.
And Rita Wilson was super sweet. I think she was reading something about music on her phone. Like, it totally engrossed.
Who is so nice. Jason Aldean?
I don't know. And maybe they were there for Jason Aldean. I have no idea. But it was pretty cool. And that was a fun moment. I will tell you, though, CMA Fest, besides just the Tom Hanks moment, which topped everything, was a very wild experience. I went out there for 2 days.
Yeah.
So, as you know, I worked Thursday night when this all happened.
Yep, and Friday.
Mm-hmm. But what happened on Thursday night that was really cool on stage was Darius Rucker joined Zach Brown Band, and they sang Chicken Fried together.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay.
It was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
And I didn't think I needed that as much as I did, but like, those two combined on that song fit so perfectly together. It sounded like it was Darius's song.
So was Darius only there for that song and then left, or they did that
no.
and then.
So Darius had performed before.
Okay.
And then Zach Brown Band went on and Darius came out when Zach Brown Band was on.
Gotcha.
And they performed that song, but that was never planned. Whenever they do collabs like that, it's never planned. It's kind of winging it.
Like,
I imagine that happened backstage that night. It was like, hey, you want to come out for Chicken Fried?
Yeah.
Never seen it happen. I've never seen that collab happen in any capacity before. So
yeah, he's like, I love Chicken Fried. He's like, well, then come out and sing it. He's like, nah. He's like, come on. He's like, okay, cool.
When you think about Darius Rucker on like Wagon Wheel, it kind of sounds in that vein, right?
Oh, yeah,
when
totally.
They were singing Chicken Fried, I was like, this feels like it's Darius's song, but it's Zach Brown Band's song.
Oh, totally.
It
yeah.
was crazy.
That is pretty cool.
So that was a super cool moment also because Zach Brown Band, I feel, is very underrated. They don't get nearly enough awards and recognition that they deserve.
Yeah.
They are one of my favorite people to see live always.
And they're one of those groups that is bigger than country. Like people know who that band is. Their music is huge.
Yeah.
And Zach Brown has like a clothing line, I think. Applied clothing shirt line thing, whatever it is. But yeah.
Oh, he has lots of other ventures outside of music for sure. He's also very attractive. Never really realized that until in the last year or so. I'm like, oh.
You saw my Country Fest too, right? When you were at that little industry party.
Uh-huh. And
I didn't realize that was him.
Attractive.
Yeah, I was like, who's this dude with the beard?
I just never really thought about it because I also think of them as like the whole band.
Yeah, not just Zach.
Yeah. But it is Zach Brown and the Zach Brown Band.
Exactly, yeah.
But so that was a cool moment. We were walking on Broadway because I had my parents in town. So I was giving them, they had never been to CMA Fest before. So the full treatment of CMA Fest. And we were walking down on Broadway. And Broadway was already kind of shut down for CMA Fest.
Yeah.
But it got further shut down because there was a guy on a roof on Broadway.
Like on the, like, it was like not one of the rooftop bars. He was in the actual roof.
No, on an actual roof on top of a rooftop bar.
So you got drunk and climbed up to the roof?
We're not really sure. All we know is we saw a bunch of police surrounding the bottom, surrounding the top, trying to get him down, talk to him.
Oh my God.
We moved out of that way before anything escalated. That was a wild experience.
Wow.
Never seen that in the six, almost 7 years I've lived in Nashville.
You've never seen someone negotiate to get off the roof?
No, I've never even seen someone on a roof. These buildings are 4 stories tall. Like, you can go on the rooftop. You don't need to go any further.
Further, you're already pretty freaking high.
Yes.
With a view and drinks at your disposal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this man, he had to go higher.
One more higher.
Maybe it was a woman. I have no idea. It was the black shadow in the night.
He must have been a huge Creed fan.
Something.
Can you take me higher? Yeah. I give you a dad joke. Just to give you one.
You did give me a good dad joke there. So, and I just have to say it. Dad joke. Yeah. That's beautiful. So that was interesting. And then also when we were on the Riverfront stage show, worked Nissan Thursday night. Friday was Riverfront stage. And that's like the free stage anybody can get into. But it was at capacity the whole time out there, which was really cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
But Eddie was out there with me for like two or three introductions before I did this Sore Losers thing. Mm-hmm. And I got the whole crowd to boo him for dishing me Thursday night. All
right. That's awesome.
I said, I met Tom Hanks. This was a huge thing. And like Eddie could have been there, but he ditched me. And I think he deserves to be booed for that. And they all booed him.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And Eddie's son was side stage. And so was his sister. And I was like, I just made that happen in front of your family.
Yeah. Because his son was there. Yeah. Because I saw him later for the Sore Losers thing.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
So that was funny. Those are some of my highlights from CMA Fest and working. And it was like I had the best time, and I love CMA Fest because seriously, country music is just so fun to be a part of, and the fans are so, so loyal and dedicated, and it's fun to experience it.
It took over the whole city from Nissan Stadium all through all the little restaurants and bars and Broadway. It really, that was my first time seeing it, because when I first moved here, we had the pandemic happen, and so none of that happened. So I was like, man, there's a lot of traffic, which annoyed the hell out of me. That's
the traffic's terrible.
Yeah.
But the experience side of it is
really cool.
Get down there, like it's really cool to see. Did you get to see anything besides the Sore Losers podcast?
That was it.
That's all you got to experience.
I got to see everything that led me up to that moment and when I was leaving.
Fair.
And then we went to Memphis. So we were already, that was the same weekend as Elvis Junket. So
yeah, you had a lot going on that weekend already.
Exactly. So I was already planning for other things. So I was like, I would love to have been able to enjoy CMA Fest. But I'm like, next year I'll do that.
Yeah. And it is like you go one night and you're like, I'm good. I got a good taste of this because you get so much music consumed in one night. But it's such a cool experience. And to be a part of it and to represent the show down there was really fun for me.
It was really cool.
Definitely,
I enjoyed
it.
I saw and I heard other people representing other companies and they did not do a very good job. It's a microphone. You don't need to yell into it.
Oh,
it
already, I didn't see that.
It already will be loud for you because they will do the levels. You don't have to scream into it.
And I will, like, something that was so interesting about Nissan was I was on stage with some of the other people from iHeart in Premiere and all of that. At the beginning of our intro or whatever, and you can't hear them. You have no idea what they're saying.
They didn't give you guys in-ears?
No. So you're standing up there and you're just like, okay, yep. Thankfully we had kind of planned it out. So like so you're just hoping everyone stayed on their target.
Oh my God, they didn't give you guys anything to hear each other? No monitors, no in-ears, no nothing?
No, nothing.
That's a CMA. They should know this kind of crap.
Yeah, I think they're going to try and change it for next year. But I was like,
is this the first
rough.
CMA Fest?
No.
Oh, I'm being sarcastic.
This is like the 80s.
That's being sarcastic.
But I think this has been a complaint every year.
Really?
I don't know. I have no idea. But we didn't have them when like Eddie and I Lunchbox did it like the last year before it was down for the pandemic. But
that's so weird.
Yeah. So like you guys, I thankfully got a lot of compliments of people said that I did really good. But I'm very thankful for that because I had no idea what was going on. I was literally winging it as much as I could just to liven up the energy. So
I hope. What I'm saying is right on cue.
Literally.
Here we go.
Literally. So, yeah, that was CMA Fest. So,
that's cool.
You and I both had some crazy weekends and really fun ones.
Oh, yeah. Really cool.
I love that for us.
Yes. Me too.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of Exo Jackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, Exo Jackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at exojacqui.com. Made for women by women.
Coming in hot at number two, Bobby's children's book, Stanley the Dog, The First Day of School, is out now, which is super exciting. And all of you guys have been posting all over socials that you've bought it, pre-ordered it, or you've already read it to your kids, all the good stuff. So make sure if you haven't bought it, it's available now. You can check out bobbybones.com to purchase it and get it. That's another cool step in Bobby's career. So, of course, comes in at number two. But I'm not even talking about the book. Surprisingly, I have another thing to tell you about.
Okay.
This is also would make a rejected, but I bet you have something you can relate it to, okay?
Okay.
So I used to eat like nuts, peanuts, seeds, like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't eat them because my lips literally swell up. I look like I got lip injections, like the bad kind.
Well, you're allergic to, you have a peanut allergy?
As I've gotten older.
Okay.
Newly, within the last 6 months, it started happening.
Okay.
So have you like, and I love seeds and peanuts and all, like I will eat them all day long.
Yeah, and they're great for you and they're delicious.
Yeah, especially being vegetarian, like it's a great snack for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a constant thing or if something's going on in my mouth, I have no idea. But my lips swell up, I look like a freaking pufferfish.
Like Kylie Jenner.
Yeah, and it happened to me while I was doing Riverfront Stage.
Oh, really?
Like, I had eaten something, and literally, nobody could tell, but I felt it, and I was talking in the way that I felt it.
You could feel like the tingling sensation?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it straight up looked like I got lip injections. Like, I don't have very big lips, so when that happened, it was like...
People were like, hey, Morgan, what's up?
Okay, but that I developed that allergy recently. Did you ever develop an allergy for something later on?
Yes, and I love curry. So any kind of like Thai curry, like red curry, yellow curry, green curry, whatever, I've always eaten it, never had a problem with it. But for some reason, now when I eat curry, my belly button and the skin around my belly button gets itchy.
What an interesting allergic reaction. So,
it was so weird because like for the longest time I was eating curry like the last couple of years and I was like, and the skin around my belly button would be so itchy. I'm like, God, why am I so itchy there? And just around my belly button, like as if it's just
nowhere
trying to
else.
Escape and like get out of me.
Nowhere else.
Nowhere else, not my arms, not anywhere else in my body, not my feet, not the inside of my mouth from like eating it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And it was directly correlated to curry.
To curry. Because I would test it, because then I would eat something else that I thought what it was. Like, no, it's not that. Then I was like, wait a second, maybe it's curry. And then I did like the curry thing, like where I would try it and go a couple days without it, and it would subside. Then I'd eat curry again, and immediately within like almost like within an hour, boom, I started to get a little itch. The next morning I wake up and I've got like a little rash around my belly button. Like, what in the hell is going on? So through all my trials and errors, it was curry.
And so you can't eat it anymore, or do you just put up with the belly button itching?
I just itch. So have you ever seen me itching my belly button? Because I had curry last night.
What an interesting allergic reaction.
Yeah, it sucks because I love curry. But then for my belly button and the skin around it, what the hell?
So how long does yours stay for? Because like my lips will be swollen for like a solid hour and
then
they start to go down.
3 days of itching.
3 days of just itching the belly button. Yeah,
until it's completely gone out of my system.
You know, but honestly, it's a dad thing to do to like rub your belly. So maybe just works in the range of your life is going.
Exactly. Like, oh, he must be getting that dad bod going on. Gotcha. Okay, cool. He just
play it off that way.
It. Yeah. Exactly. No, I've had a curry, and so my belly button, the skin around it is red and itchy right now.
Dang, that's so interesting. And isn't that just weird, like, over time that you randomly start developing an allergy, and in just, like, the strangest way?
It's so weird. I've heard that your taste buds change every 7 years. So if you didn't like something, you should try it again 7 years later. But I didn't realize that you can have like adult onset allergies.
Yeah, that's crap. Nobody yeah, it is crap, right? Yeah. Me about that.
Unless it's reverse, where you were allergic to something and now you're not and you want to eat it. That's great. But if you love something and then you get allergic to it, what the hell?
Like, you can't go your whole life eating something and knowing how awesome it is and to all of a sudden not be able to eat it. That is crap.
Yeah, that's why I just do it and I power through it.
Oh, man. Well, if you see Scuba eating curry and me eating any type of nuts, just, you know, mind your business.
Yeah. I'm going to be scratching my belly button and she's going to have big lips.
Literally. We may look a little different, but it's okay.
It's all right.
I will tell you some. Two food worlds I got. Oreo dropped some Neapolitan cookies.
Okay.
Do you like Oreos?
I love Oreos. I love Oreos.
So do you like Neapolitan like ice cream?
Yeah, like what's the vanilla strawberry chocolate?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So they got a new Oreo Neapolitan cookie that's the golden Oreo with vanilla strawberry and chocolate in the middle.
It's available now?
Yep. Well, they hit stores next month. So in July is when they hit.
Okay, cool.
Will you try those?
Oh, hell yeah. I'll try any Oreo they come out with. Even like the ugly, gross ones that they come out with. I'm like, I don't know what like a bad one is, but all of them, I'll try them all.
You'll just try them all just for the fun of it?
Just for the fun of it. My favorite one is carrot cake.
Interesting.
The carrot cake Oreo.
Okay.
Oh, God. It's the golden Oreo with the carrot cake filling on the inside.
And it's your favorite?
My absolute favorite.
Dang.
Absolute favorite.
I see. I still love the OG, but there is a s'mores one that was really good at one point.
I never had that one. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was called a s'mores, but it tasted like s'mores.
Okay. It could have been graham cracker or something.
Yeah, something mixed with it. But yeah, the OG Oreos are where it's at. So I don't know if I'll be trying this, but I'm glad that you are. I just wanted to bring it up because I knew there would be people out there that wanted to try it.
I'm glad that you are. More on that at 5. It's KTVU News.
I do. But I knew people care about these things. And it's interesting that you try all the flavors.
Oh, I try every one of them. I've never known that. Oh, yeah. And if it sucks, I power through it and finish the box and won't buy any more of it.
Fair.
But I love Oreos.
That is also a dad thing to do, to power through a food that you don't actually like.
I hate myself and I hate it. And it makes my belly button itchy.
Yep. That is a whole dad mood right there, Scuba. Yeah.
I paid for this. We're going to finish it.
Yeah, that's a dad mood. Do you like sweet tea?
Oh, I love sweet tea. It's my absolute favorite.
What about sweet tea ice cream?
I didn't know they had that. That sounds pretty good. I would try that.
McAllister's, they just dropped their deli famous sweet tea.
Okay.
Ice cream version. And it's already available, and it's only $8 a pint.
That's awesome.
Will you try sweet tea ice cream?
Oh, hell yeah, I'll try sweet. I'll put it in a cup, and I'll let it melt a little bit, and I'll drink it.
I'm so curious as to what this tastes like. Does it kind of taste like just like sweet with like a mocha flavor, or is it just going to be like tea?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
because sometimes people will say they have sweet tea, and it's basically just colored water. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of sugar in it. Yeah. I'm like, no, that's not sweet tea. You got to put some damn, like my grandma would make sweet tea and she would just take almost the entire bag and just dump that thing in there. And it would be the sweetest tea you've ever had. And that's the way it was supposed to be in my world.
That is what I would like to call sugar sweet tea.
That's sweet tea.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
That's some sugar in it. That's got sugar and loving in it.
Loving, exactly. Mm-hmm. And when I was living in Charlotte for a while, and I'd never seen this before, at Wendy's, they had what they called, they had regular sweet tea and they had country style sweet tea. And it was not like they brewed it themselves. It was made by Lipton or whoever. They made a country style sweet tea. And I remember getting it and I'm like, they get me. They know what I'm looking for.
So why wouldn't they just have that as the normal sweet tea the whole time?
Especially if you're living in Charlotte, like it's a country area. People want sweet tea.
Yeah.
I don't understand anyone. If you do this, I don't know you anymore. People who get unsweet tea. Why would you ever drink unsweet? What's the point of drinking unsweetened tea?
Well, at that point, aren't you just drinking tea?
You're just drinking tea. Mm-hmm. You want to get green tea or something better. Oolong tea, something different. Why would you do unsweetened tea?
So don't do unsweetened tea, but you can do oolong.
Oolong tea. Okay. Oolong tea for sure.
Oh, man. There you have it. Both of these are going to be what Scuba Steve is trying, and I need reviews.
Yeah, we'll get reviews. Yeah, oh, yeah.
I need the reviews. At number one was Gavin DeGraw this week, which was an epic interview.
Oh, yeah.
Though he's probably never coming on our show again.
I wouldn't say that.
Of Scuba and Eddie. But he performed some of his hit songs. He even performed a new one. So make sure you go watch all that at BobbyBones.com. Great. Just great. Especially if you're a One Tree Hill fan and hearing the story behind I Don't Want to Be coming on that show. I know that was a really cool moment for me to hear.
Yeah.
And
I liked him talking about where he was mad at other artists who wouldn't want to play their hits.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way he explained it. I can't explain the way he did it, so you'll hear it. But I love what he said. He's like, these people they've spent 3 months saving up money and they drove 3 hours to hear a 3-minute song. And he said a bunch of expletives.
Yeah.
You better play that bleep, bleep, bleep song. And I'm like, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's, I get it. Like, yep. That's what made your career, or made your career, at least in their eyes. You should play the 3 to 4 hits, 5 hits, whatever you got. Or if you only have one hit, play the one hit. Mm-hmm. You can't not play it. Anyone that hates that, it's like, that made your career, or that's what made who you are. Like, why would you be mad over it?
Exactly. And he was like, he was very articulate and very just creative and genuine in everything that he did during this interview and the performance. So, as Scuba said, as I both said, we both took away different things from it. So that even tells you how cool of an interview it was. So make sure you check that out. But Scuba, thanks for joining me. You know what's funny is I said that I would try and make this short, and I didn't. Every time. I try so hard every time to at least try and keep it.
Are we over an hour?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Yeah, I try to keep it under an hour. I try very hard and vigilant in that, and I don't ever make it.
Yeah.
Ever. But it's, you know, it's fine. Tell the people where they can find you and
everyone's
see all the things.
Favorite guests, they can check me out, or at least Morgan probably tells everyone that. I don't know because I don't hear these, but
you are one of the top favorited guests. They just love the stories you have to share.
So you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Scuba Steve Radio. SUBASTV.
And on all the things. He's on Instagram and Twitter.
On all the things, only two of them.
I had to make you point that out. He ain't on TikTok. He's on my TikTok in one video.
In one video, and that's about it.
We'll get more.
Yeah, we'll see.
We got more coming. Don't worry. It's going to happen at some point when our lives aren't crazy. But I'm at Webgirl Morgan on all the things. You can check all of that stuff out. Plus, the Bobby Bones Show is at Bobby Bones Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that good stuff. Y'all, I hope you have a fabulous weekend. Scuba, thanks again for joining me.
Heck yeah, thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too.
With no poop in your yard from the kid.
The kid. There will be dog poop, but there won't be kid poop. But there
will be dog poop. Bye, y'all. The Bobby Bones Show.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of Exo Jackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, Exo Jackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at exojacqui.com. Made for women by women.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.